99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, 884-9910. Continuing the theme of places to go around here that are a lot of fun. With me here in the studios in Carson City, the Genoa Town Manager, Jody Bruns, is here. Hey, Jody.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
You are here on a mission, and that is to talk about the Candy Dance, the biggest event, not only in Genoa, but in pretty much in that area down there by Carson Valley. The Candy Dance is next weekend. How long? How did this start? And how long has this Candy Dance been a fixture? How long has it been going on now?
So back in 1919, a lady named Lillian Virgin Finnegan came up with the idea of the women in town making homemade candy and selling it at a local dance to purchase streetlights for the town, which, by the way, those streetlights are still in operation today. They were very successful. They got the streetlights, and then they realized that they needed to raise the funds to pay for the electricity each year for those street lights. So this Candy Dance has been going on since 1919. Still today, it is used to provide revenue for the town of Genoa to survive. It actually brings us 65% of our annual revenue, and the craft fair was added in 1974.
The first time I was at the Candy Dance, I think, was 1978, and it still was kind of like the original setup where you have the, I hate to use this term, old ladies with their tables. They have these little folding poker game tables with their candies on top of the tabletops here, wrapped in little plastic or cellophane bags. And that was the Candy Dance back then. And I hadn't been there until I went back maybe 5 years ago. How big do you want this Candy Dance to get? I mean, it was outrageous, I thought.
Well, we're up to like 430 vendors today. About 400 of those are crafts and art vendors, and about 30 of them are food and beverage.
Yeah.
I don't know how much bigger we can grow it, in all honesty. We have a little bit more room where we can expand, but we bring 35 to 45,000 people into the town over the 2 days. Mm-hmm. And so we're pretty much bulging at the seams with between the fairgoers and where our booths are located and traffic and that type of thing. We're pretty much getting close to being maxed out.
You've been working on this for months, I bet, getting ready for this biggest of all big events in Genoa. So as a newcomer, when they walk into the Candy Dance, what can they expect to enjoy? What different things do you have out there at the Candy Dance?
We have everything from our handmade candy, which is sold in the town hall. We have volunteers who start making the candy in July, and so they will be selling that out of the town hall. That should be your first stop because they do sell out quickly. And plus, our town hall was built in 1851, so if nothing else, it's worth walking into and admiring the building. Mm-hmm. We have 400 craft vendors, which could be anywhere from jewelry to photography to pottery to you name it. There is something of every, I would say, median in the fair. Whatever you're looking for, you will find several options. And then our several food and beverage vendors as well.
Where can the people park when they go to the Candy Dance next weekend?
We have three entrances into the town. Our main parking lot is located on Genoa Lane, which is off of Highway 395. We strongly urge, if you're coming from the north, to go down 395, hang a right on Genoa Lane, and that will lead you into town, and the parking lot will be on your left. We actually park in cow pastures. So that is our main parking lot. If you're coming from the south, then we suggest that you come up 395, turn left on Muller, right outside of Minden, and then right on Foothill, and that will lead you right into town. That's our second largest parking lot. And then we have a third parking lot off of Jack's Valley. It's a cemetery. It fills up very quickly, so we highly suggest you use the Genoa Lane or the Foothill parking lot.
Are pets allowed at the Candy Dance?
We love our pets, but we ask you to please leave them at home. So no, they are not allowed. There's so many people. It's so congested. It's just not a place for people to have to bring their dogs. So no, they're not allowed.
So the candy, is it still handmade? Do we still have the ladies making the delicious homemade candy at the Candy Dance? And where can people buy it if they do have it there?
It is absolutely handmade by both women and men now today. It is located in the town hall. I believe they make something around 3,500 pounds of candy. So it goes on for weeks, and it is available during the fair Saturday and Sunday. But when they sell out on Sunday afternoon, they'll close up the doors.
And is there anything, any cautions here, something people should know when they're attending the Candy Dance, what not to do or things like that?
Well, you should know that Wi-Fi and cell service is pretty much non-existent when you're in Genoa during the Candy Dance due to the fact that we're located.
Oh, no!
I know. Imagine that. Life without your cell phone.
Oh, no!
So we're located at the base of the Carson Range, as well as having that many people in one area. So we strongly suggest that you bring cash. We do have ATM machines throughout the town, but if you brought it with you, you would avoid those lines. And also, when you come in to park, our parking is $10 per car, excuse me, and it's cash only. So make sure you have cash on you, at least for your parking fee.
Did you you have shuttles, though, don't you?
We do have shuttles running from each parking lot. They are all ADA compliant. So no matter what your situation is, whether you have a walker or a wheelchair or anything, they can accommodate you. They will bring you up as close as they can to town to where you're on the pavement.
And this is not the only event in Genoa. What other events do you have coming up in that great town as the year winds down?
Well, as soon as Candy Dance is over, we focus on our Harvest Fest, which is October 18th from 11 to 3. It's free to the public. It's sort of like a mini Oktoberfest. Then on October 31st, we have a Halloween celebration where we have horseless carriages that take you trick-or-treating. 12 and under are free, $5 per person for anybody over 12, or you can bring a potluck dish and avoid the fee. And then some of my favorite are our Christmas ones. We have Breakfast with Santa. That's December 6th, $7.50 per person, 3 and under are free. We do have a train, in addition to Santa, we do have a train that takes you around town, weather permitting. And then we have our Genoa Country Christmas, which is December 13th. This year, we're going to have Joni Morris, and she is a Patsy Cline tribute band where she'll sing a variety of country music as well as some holiday music. And that's $30 per person with a light dessert served during intermission.
Jody, I marvel at how this town has stayed as small as it is. I mean, that subdivision is on Jack's Valley Road. That's outside of Genoa. But how do you do it? I mean, Reno can't seem to say no to any developer. And I hear that if they do, then the developer is going to sue the city or something like that. How does Genoa stay small? And is that a difficult thing to guard the integrity of that town and keep it small?
We do have a Genoa Historic District Commission, which does their best to try to keep things true to the the historic nature.
Yeah,
we don't. The actual town of Genoa is a very small footprint. We only have, I believe, 153 lots and about 200 residents. But the entire Genoa 89411 zip code, there is several thousand people in that area. Genoa only receives tax dollars from the town residents, so we survive on a very small budget. We survive on volunteers. We have a very strong volunteer base in Genoa, as well as donations. We have a nonprofit organization called Friends of Genoa, and they raise funds and help us do projects within town. We currently, I think, have put in $300,000 in with their help into our little community church, which was built in 1910 or shortly after the fire of 1910. They help us raise funds to maintain our town hall. So we really survive a lot on donations and volunteers.
Well, you know, your one intersection there, the main intersection, it's pretty constant. You know, there's always a vehicle waiting to cross that four-way intersection. Has there been, like, I hope not, has there been now talk of like, hey, maybe we should put a traffic light there, and then that begats all sorts of modern conveniences? Has there been talk like that?
There has not, thank goodness. Okay. I think at one time years ago, they talked about a roundabout, and that was that was squashed. It's just a four-way stop. Take your turn and wait your turn, and then you can go.
All right. Well, kudos to you for keeping it small, and but at the same time, you have open hearts, and you want to have people come and enjoy. You're not that insular, you know. You're wide open to having people enjoy the town as much as you do. Any other plans coming up at Genoa? Any infrastructure changes coming up?
No, there's a few projects on the horizon of some private owners. They're a long ways off. So I think Genoa's going to stay the way it is for several years to come.
Okay, I love it. And, you know, another great joy is to go to Carson Road, I think it is in Genoa, park your car there, and go up the trail, the switchbacks. And that goes for like 13 miles.
It does. That's Carson Street. And at the very end, there is a trail parking. And that is a huge draw for Genoa.
Yeah, I did it once.
Awesome.
It drops you right off at Jacks Valley Road. You walk back and have a celebratory beer at the world's oldest bar, or I'm sorry, Nevada's oldest bar, and have a great time. Anything else, Jody?
No, if you're into smaller walks, I highly recommend that Genoa Vista Trail, the one that goes between Wally's and Genoa.
Yes, that's my coffee run every
that
morning.
That is such an easy walk, and it's the most beautiful view I think you could ever take in.
Yeah, that's a great little town. Jody, thank you so much for stopping by, and everybody will see you, I'm sure, at the Candy Dance.
Stop by and say hello.
Will do. Okay, super. Let's keep the thing going here on places you like to visit and have fun. Newcomers, you're welcome to call in and ask questions, too. I can answer them. 884-9910. Going to take our break. Be back very soon. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:18.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. John Potter live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. We're doing this call-in here on your one-tank or thereabout trips to enjoy the very last of summer. Sorry again, I apologize for being so late on this topic, but finally have time to do it. I just want to wrap it up because I was just making some notes during the commercials of other things I missed talking about. And as you heard previously, I covered, Elko, Wells, Austin, Nevada, the Godber Turquoise Rock Hunting, that's east of town, Love Ely, the train, the McGill Pool, Garnett Hill, Lehman Caves, the Beer Garden at Stardust, and Eat at the Jailhouse, if it's open, sometimes it's not, or Mr. G's, a fun Italian restaurant in Ely. And from May to October, they have the Sunset Stars and Champagne Train going on. It's going on right now. Champagne, and look at the sunset, and look at the stars. There's a huge historic rail yard in Ely, Nevada, and they keep the trains running. It's a bigger operation, I think, than what Virginia City and Carson City have with the old trains. Sierra Hot Springs in Sierraville. The Surprise Valley Hot Springs, both in California. Also in California, Placerville, otherwise known as Hangtown. It's a wonderful Old West town, campy board in Placerville. That's near Apple Hill, where my favorites are the Boger Winery, Boa Vista Apple Orchards, and the High Hill Ranch. High Hill Ranch is like apple orchard theme park with fishing and just loads of fun. That's the ultimate for kids right there. Nevada City, California. We love the National Exchange Hotel and the Onyx Theater. Onyx Theater, old-time theater, does old movies or classic movies, plays. Napa, just avoid it in the summer. Napa, you want to go in April or early October, so that's timely. It's coming up is the best time to go to Napa. Stay at El Bonita in St. Helena. Walk to downtown. Eat at Cook's, the Pizzeria La Travigna. The Napa Valley Wine Train, actually, and that's awesome. But every time I look at the thing, it goes up $50. I don't know where it is right now. Buellton, California. Get Anderson's all-you-can-eat split-pea soup. Don't ask questions. Just do it. And if you want to go to San Francisco, the easiest way to do it, and I've tried all sorts of variations, it's really difficult, you know, to stay in San Francisco. You have to pay, $50 a night just to park in the hotel parking lot. What you want to do is instead stay in San Bruno, California. It's right there by the BART. You'd walk over to it, go to the BART station, bam, you're right in the middle of San Francisco doing anything you want to do. You can see the Cow Hollow, the Millennium Tower, and of course, Fisherman's Wharf. So those are my my tips for you on that. I really wasn't going to dive into this water, but I just can't help myself. And I wasn't actually going to talk about this today, but you know, you and I, we cannot ignore it. ABC, as I'm sure you probably know, has suspended Jimmy Kimmel. And I think it matters, you know. And frankly, I really don't think it's about whether you love Jimmy Kimmel or you can't stand Jimmy Kimmel and his political views. It comes down to what he said. And it also largely comes down to advertising and money. Never underestimate the importance of that. But Jimmy Kimmel stood up on national TV, basically claimed that MAGA supporters were somehow trying to mischaracterize the alleged shooter who had just murdered Charlie Kirk. And let that sink in for a minute. A man who has just been murdered, assassinated, his family hadn't even buried him yet. And Jimmy Kimmel turned it into a punchline. I don't have time to really get into it right now because we have we have Fox News coming up in a few minutes. And also we have a phone call to take care of, too. But if you want to call about it, by all means, feel free. Hey, Holly. Holly, good. Not there. Okay. Does it work? Okay.
I haven't finished screening her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I saw her name. That's all. That's my fault. But anyway, yeah, punchline, the killing. Into and if you're a comedian, I guess the important thing is that should be funny. You know, Mitch Hedberg was funny. George Carlin was funny. Jimmy Kimmel mocking Charlie Kirk and MAGA people, I'm sorry, is not comedy. That's reckless. And when you're on the airwaves, the public's airwaves, because, you know, they don't own these airwaves. You do. The public does. And we are regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, and there is a responsibility that comes with that. I mean, there's all kinds of words I would use on this radio station, believe me. But I can't, because the FCC would come down on me and like a barrel full of monkeys with anger in their veins. All right, can we? Let's take that call now. Hey, Holly is calling on the One Tank Trips here. Hey, Holly, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning, John. I'm not. I haven't been listening earlier this morning, but I know you're a big cat person.
Meow.
And I've got a cat, and I've got a dilemma. I'm living in a motel right now, and the cat's out of food, and I don't have money Well, I've got some quarters, but I can't drive, so I was hoping maybe somebody could help me out, get me some cat food while I'm here.
Wow, I don't know where to start on this one, Craig. I'll tell you what, why don't you call after the show, and I'll arrange something
okay,
for you. Okay, I'll just call the same number. Yeah, call right after the show.
I will
give you some direction. We're going to get that kitty cat fed, okay?
Great.
All right, Holly.
Thank you so much, John.
Sure.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, we are going to break for Fox News and be back very soon. I'm John Potter, live and local. Phone lines are open to talk about the trips or about Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, people still upset about this, and I understand why. I'm John Potter, live and local, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time. It's 11:30.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It is just a gorgeous day out there and nice and cool, too. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. I brought it up, but I really personally don't have a lot to say about the Jimmy Kimmel thing, as if people are interested really in what I think. I think you can express the reason why what he said was not right a lot better than I can. So that's why we invite you to call 884-9910. I just have to say that personally, if I went on my show and I accused somebody of something that law enforcement had not confirmed, that this assassin was one of MAGA's guys, as he said, not only would my phone lines be rather tied up for an extended period of time, but many of the people who are sponsors would probably say adios, moron, and I'd have the FCC breathing down my neck. So, you know, why should Jimmy Kimmel get a pass? Did Jimmy Kimmel give Tucker Carlson a pass when Tucker Carlson lost his job at Fox News? No, Jimmy Kimmel basically danced over the grave, metaphorically speaking, of Tucker Carlson, and at one point said words to the effect of, now you can go back and crawl into the devil's butthole from which you came. Nice. So here's what happened. Nexstar, one of the biggest TV station owners in America, said we're not airing this. The FCC chairman said it was sick. Most importantly, with sponsors backing out, ABC had no choice but to pull the plug, because when you spread unverified claims about a murder, in particular, a murder that most of us saw in all of its graphic, horrifying detail, when you smear half the country, you're not just offending people, you're really undermining the credibility of the entire network. We keep hearing about misinformation and disinformation accountability, yet when it comes from the left, suddenly it's only a comedy. Oh, it's a joke. Can't you take a joke? Well, no, because in a situation like that, even I know these words matter, and timing matters. And if you're going to use this kind of tragedy to score political points before the body is even cold, frankly, you should be suspended, period. So ABC, my opinion, had to do that thing that they did. And I think it was the right thing, not because I want Jimmy Kimmel or anybody silenced. He can say whatever he wants to say because this is the United States. But free speech doesn't mean free from consequences. And the government is not going to come in and say, well, here's what you wrote on social media. We disapprove of it. Off to the gulag and the forced work camps you go. No, that's something that the communists and, of course, the Nazis did. So, no, it's not a governmental thing. So if Jimmy Kimmel has to be an activist, that's totally cool. But don't masquerade as a late night comic and then turn somebody's murder into a partisan weapon. And by the way, I'm not real big on the expression passed away, especially when somebody was murdered and assassinated. My mom and I had many discussions about this, and she would always say, when I die, don't ever say I passed away. Charlie Kirk was murdered. He was killed. He was assassinated. He did not pass away. Passing away is something I think people do when they're like succumbing to a terminal illness, or, you know, when they put up a battle and they die, or somebody is of a very venerable years and then fades off into eternity. To me, that's passing away. More accurately, I would say it's dying, but passing away to me is not a murder. A murder is a murder. Somebody in the prime and flower of their life and youth murdered. That's a murder. That's a killing. That's an assassination. It's not passing away. That's some of the sites I've seen say. And by the way, I'm not talking to you about left-wing sites, because I've seen it on right-wing sites, too. Charlie Kirk was murdered last Wednesday, and it did not have to happen. Let's go to the phones. Ken is calling from Fallon. Hey, Ken, good morning. John here. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. I appreciate you taking my call. It's interesting because I've been listening to the radio for, you know, many years, but my sons have also been listening to the radio, and my middle son, Caleb, we were talking about the Jimmy Kimmel firing, and it was interesting to talk to him about the First Amendment rights. Like, was Jimmy Kimmel silenced because of his firing? We were able to turn the radio off, sit down, and have a good talk about how, no, words have consequences. Yeah. And if you want to have that belief, that's good. If you want to say it, that's awesome, but you still have to believe words have consequences. Just like when he talks to his mother, words have consequences. So I just want to call in and comment on that. So
absolutely, Ken. And like I said, it's not a governmental thing. It's an ABC thing. ABC could have come out and we stand behind Jimmy Kimmel and not do this. They did it. They did it. This was not a government order of anything of the sort. Well, what about those TV stations? They were going to merge, and some people think that the government is putting control or trying to clamp down on ABC and prevent the merger because of what Jimmy Kimmel said. No, these stations are the ones that decided not to run Jimmy Kimmel anymore. And they said it did not fit what their audience appreciated, which they were correct about. And those stations took him off the air, and the network had to react because of that. Then you have the sponsors leaving. Actually, anything that happens in the world, just follow where it all began with the money. That's always usually the issue. But it wasn't a free speech government thing. You are so correct. And it's a great lesson for you to tell your kids that, Ken. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, John. Keep it up.
Okay, thanks. Buddy. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel being put on the bench is about standards, and it's about basic respect. It's about knowing when you've crossed the line. So far, you just can't walk it back with a joke or an apology, which, by the way, did not come. The next night, the network asked Kimmel to apologize, and he refused. And that's why ABC had to act. If they did not act, ABC's viewers, affiliates, and advertisers would have acted for them. The network had no choice. And as far as President Trump and his administration, President Trump has been anti a lot of, in particular, the late night TV people for quite some time. What happened really prior to Charlie Kirk's murder, in particular with Jimmy Kimmel, nothing happened with Jimmy Kimmel. President Trump was no fan of Jimmy Kimmel and certain others on late night TV, and he made no secret about that. And Jimmy Kimmel stepped into a steaming pile of manure. But quite frankly, I think this country is kind of, this is the feeling I get, and maybe this is the question I really want to ask. I think this country is kind of on the precipice. I really believe it is kind of on the precipice. I don't like what I believe is the direction of this country. I really have talked about this at great length off the air to people, but the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's murder, compounded by, I think, the even greater full tragedy of these celebratory reactions of so many people on social media who did not see the world in the way that Charlie Kirk saw, it gives me great reason for a concern. So wouldn't you want the president of the United States to call out people that he believes are simply pouring fuel into the fire? Remember, President Trump said, you know, don't poke the bear, you're poking the bear with some of this reaction, and it's not healthy for the country. So if you want a more perfect union, it seems to me that as the president of the United States, having that bully pulpit, as Teddy Roosevelt called it way back, when you have to stand up and you have to say, look, this is not healthy for the country to have. And it's also aggravated by the idea that many of us believe that most of the media, not just over the, you know, a lot of the online stuff, not just over the air stuff, as well, are very, very left biased. And look at my own news feed on my cell phone every single day. I get about 5 articles about Donald Trump's unsubstantiated claims, concerns over Donald Trump clamping down on freedom of speech. Donald Trump cannot clamp down on freedom of speech. That is a constitutional amendment enshrined in the First Amendment. This is not a freedom of speech issue. And again, ABC could have easily told the world, you know, we stand behind Jimmy Kimmel. We stand behind his First Amendment right to say that he thinks the MAGA crowd is one of the culpable parties in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. They could have, but it's left-based media. And when I think of how many times the Channel 2 news scripts would say President Trump repeated false claims of blankety blank scripts from left news CBS, and how the news anchors not only spin negative on Trump, but always that frown on any news about our president or even the first lady, frown face. Stories about an opponent like we had Kamala Harris, all smiles, you know. I'm sure you noticed. Jeff is calling from Reno, 884-9910. Hey, Jeff, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking the call. I'm going to need a minute to break this down, but Guy Benson on your noon program and Ted Cruz on The Verdict have both said that they're worried about, I think his last name is Carr, the FCC commissioner. The outrage on the left is they say that he put his thumb on the scale and called the two biggest owners of affiliate stations and said, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way, you know, implying that you're going to be coming to me for mergers or and all the rest of that. So that's the other side of the story. That's the left's supposed outrage.
Yeah, well, Jeff, there's absolutely no evidence of that at all. And if that's true, that they were putting pressure on ABC, why did ABC tell Jimmy Kimmel he could stay on the air if he just apologized? You know.
He'll bet. And he wouldn't. So working through that, I mean, that's one side of the argument. And if they want to have that argument, remember that the public airways belong to the public and they're supposed to perform for the public good. And, you know, we used to have certain standards of decency in this nation, and he crossed that line, refused to apologize. And when they learned what he was planning to say on Wednesday, they really didn't want him to, because he was going to double down. And they were too smart to let him do that. So it really is a business decision if you get to it. But what I think the smartest thing the Trump administration could do is say, if you want an apology from Carr, you get Obama to apologize for putting pressure to get Roseanne Barr off the air, and you get all 51 of those guys that lied and said that Hunter's laptop, which revealed Joe Biden's corruption, was Russian disinformation, you get them to apologize, and Carr will apologize. And if you want me to fire Carr, then the Senate has to pass a resolution unanimously condemning Obama and all 51 of those guys. And if you don't want to do that, then pound sand. What do you think of that?
That is an elaborate thought train, my friend, but we'll see what happens. Personally about Kimmel, I think the more I think about this, I think the guy just wanted. He wanted to get bounced off the air. He wanted to get fired. He wanted to sit home and collect all these ridiculous contract deals where he still gets paid if the network violates his contract by demanding an apology or whatever clause he's going to use. I think he just wanted a paid vacation come down to it, maybe.
A lot of people are speculating on that, and it's got a lot of weight to it. So
sure.
You could have some.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your call, Jeff. Take care, my friend. All right, we got one more segment to go, friends. Last chance to call. Last call, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. I'd love to hear what you have to say about anything. That's what I'm here for every Saturday, 9 to noon. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.
Live, local FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. If the gentleman who called and told us that Dayton Valley Days is going on today, if you could call back and describe what that is all about, I have heard about it, but somebody calling from Dayton about Dayton Valley Days, I would love to have you call back and describe it for our listeners so they can enjoy it. 775-884-9910. Oh, I was going to mention, too, it's been an interesting, I think it's been over 20 days now, that I have been blocked from Facebook due to the vague description that they gave me, violations of community standards. And all I have on my frickin' Facebook are pictures of my wife and me and pictures of cats and other happy, positive things. Yes, I was taken off and I get taken off things a lot, you know, and all the angry political people, they're still there. I'm sure. But you know what? I've gotten used to not having Facebook and I don't miss it. You know, sure. The first week was hard. And then I realized, oh, these books are cool. And once I, those books, you can open them and look. And once I got wrapped up in one of my books, I don't miss Facebook and the way it would get my blood going, you know, with all the name calling and negativity and the snide comments. I don't miss that much at all. And sure, it hurt in the beginning. I couldn't communicate with a lot of people anymore, but you know what? It's kind of nice living without Facebook. Remember when social media was fun? When you caught up with classmates and you saw pictures of your niece's wedding, when you saw where people were vacationing and what they ate for lunch and what astronomical miles had just rolled over somebody's odometer, and when it was about baptisms and cats and dogs and their videos, and when it truly was social media, a way for people to be in touch, to exchange information and friendship. And then I think that ended in 2016. When 2016 came in the aftermath of a presidential election, the torrent was unleashed and social media was pretty much ruined. And it seemed like it switched to all hate or just too much hate, tweet after post after, you know, one political tribalist after another, spewing hate and invective for those who dared to have a contrary view. People making the really snotty remarks on the comments, hiding behind either a fake name or what. It was not conversation. It was riot. It was a verbal beatdown of anybody with a divergent view. And often in the vilest terms, with no reason or courtesy, there seem to be just the words of violence and hate pumped like sewage across social media instead of a way to keep in touch or learn new things or go see the ideas and knowledge of others. It became like this freeway to club others into social submission, to use networks of friendship or interest to intimidate and brutalize. But when they first took me off Facebook, I was a little put off and I tried to contact Facebook. And of course, you know, Facebook has no customer service that you can't talk to you. Well, here's what the problem is. There is a subreddit on reddit.com for Facebook users. And apparently millions of people have been kicked off Facebook for no possible reason that they can figure out. The problem turns out to be Facebook has turned over so many operations to AI. and AI is making huge mistakes. And Facebook came out and said, we realize there is a problem. And, they're going to try to get us back. I don't want to go back. I feel great. I feel fine and fantastic. I'm not going back to Facebook. Yes, I lost all those pictures. But there were people on Reddit who said they've been on Facebook 20 years and all the pictures of their families are on their page and they can't get them back. I think I'll survive without those pictures. I have my memories. Okay, 36th annual Dayton Valley Days going on today, September 20th and tomorrow, the 21st. It goes on till 5 o'clock today until 4 o'clock. Tomorrow. I'm glad that guy reminded us because I know we have a lot of people in Dayton. 150 vendors. Holy cow, what am I doing here? Classic car show. A breakfast for tomorrow with the Kiwanis. It's an obvious blast. And I'm looking at the schedule for today. Starting at noon, minutes from now, the Cherry Bomb Betty's pinup contest. Then there's live music. And then tomorrow they do it all again. Sunday they have a pet parade and a contest, meetups, live music, and old cars. Okay, go to Dayton. There you go. That's a great thing to do. It's in historic downtown Dayton. I had fun. Thanks, Craig, for running the show. And I did enjoy doing it from Carson City. I'll talk to you next Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. John Potter saying thank you for listening. Bye-bye.